Good morning, everybody. We'll just wait another minute because I'm waiting for my co-speaker to come back in the room. Waiting for just returned.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I mentioned you. That's okay. So good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming. I'm surprised I can't see everybody out here, but thanks for coming. So today we're going to talk about the spreadsheet management features that we have in Office and SharePoint. My name is Steve Kranach. I'm a program manager on the team that builds these products for Microsoft. And with me I have Lee Corman. He's a premier field engineer, and he'll be talking about some of the more implementation and architecture aspects of the system. But I'm going to start off just going through our agenda here. First, we're going to talk about why we need to manage spreadsheets. I think probably most of you have an idea of that already, but we'll talk about that a little bit. Then I'm going to give a demonstration and talk about the products that we have in SharePoint and Office that can help out. Then Lee will take over, and he'll talk about the architecture of the solution and then what it takes to implement, okay? So this is really what I think is kind of the underlying reason why we need spreadsheet management. So humans are running these spreadsheets, and humans make lots of mistakes. And with a computer, they can do some really serious damage. I don't have any clips of it here, but if you just do a quick search on Bing for spreadsheet errors or spreadsheet mistakes, you'll find lots and lots of articles talking about a variety of, you know, either embarrassing but not important things or some significant mistakes that people have made. They can affect world economies. They can affect the bottom line for major companies. They can just be embarrassing, let's say, for the London Olympics, who didn't sell enough tickets or sold too many tickets, I forget which, based on a spreadsheet error. So I think we can all agree on that. Another thing I want to just kind of frame this is just a real simple example. So really what we're talking about is trust. You want to be able to trust your spreadsheets. So here I have a spreadsheet that, when you first look at it, yeah, it looks pretty nice, nice colors, nice layout. But what's hidden inside there are some problems. And if you don't take a careful look, those can really be what cause, you know, loss for your company and cause some major problems. So in this example, I have some broken links that you just can't tell from looking at this. There's invisible cells, which of course you can't see because they're invisible. There's a very hidden sheet. Can I have anyone tell me what a very hidden sheet is? Anyone? Anyone? Okay, we'll get to that. And a thing like negative formulas. Negative formulas is just one where it's equals, and then the minus sign is the first part of the formula. And we like to look at those because it's something that could be a typo very easily. Okay. I may put you to sleep here. I want to go through this regulation. Just kidding. Really, this is just a screenshot of, it's not advancing for it. There we go. When SOX 404 was enacted in 2002, then the SEC actually came out with a rule kind of guide financial reporting, and I think this is what it's summed up by these three words: adequate internal control. So it's pretty vague, and that's really what got the ball rolling with spreadsheet management. So a lot of companies were wondering, okay, what does this mean? What is adequate? And some of the auditing firms tried to define that, and I'll go through some of the recommendations that they have. But really, that's what got started this idea of having controls on spreadsheets And I came from a company called Proteance that was founded around 2005 as a result of this. And we got acquired by Microsoft 2 years ago. And we've integrated our products, and that's what I'm going to show you here today. Okay, a quick definition. So I'm going to use the acronym EUC. What does that mean? It means end-user computing. Generally, we're talking about Excel and Access databases here, but it could be other types of files. Basically, we're talking about files that are created by end users and they don't have IT involvement. And it's not advancing. So without IT involvement, that's where we start to lose control, right? Because these are powerful tools, end users are smart, they have needs, and they just go on and build things that they need to do their job, but they don't necessarily put in place all the controls that they should have, such as, you know, what you would have with an IT-developed application, okay? So some of the reasons for EUCs are, I think, pretty obvious here. Basically, you just need to get business done, and you have a flexible tool, so therefore, you're going to have EUCs start popping up all over the place. Now, some of the problems are getting multiple versions. Of course, people are copying files around, emailing files around, making backup copies. You know, there's all kinds of reasons for that. And also just creating things on the fly whenever they want. So we're wondering, is this risky? And what I have here are some real-life screenshots of link relationships between workbooks at customers that I've worked with. So what this shows you, those tiny little points at the end of the green lines represent an Excel file. So what this shows me is that, so for example, the point on the very left is one workbook, and it has dependency on all those other workbooks that it's connected to. So I would not be too happy about using the results from that spreadsheet. And the other one, just another example. And these aren't the worst ones I've seen. I wish I had a screenshot of the worst one I've seen, but it would just fill the screen with green. So not too interesting. So what we're hoping to do, and the tools that we've built we hope will do, is reduce the risk of using these EUCs. We do that by asking the right questions, using the right tools, and hopefully arriving at one version of the truth so that you really can have that trust and reduce the risk. Okay. This is just trying to make you feel nice here that we're going to have uncontrolled EUCs today. And if you put in place a good spreadsheet management project where it's going to use some of our tools, hopefully, but also best practices and internal policies and procedures and some manual things that people need to do and some training so they use Excel better, hopefully we'll get to a point where we have controlled EUCs. Okay. So here's a list. I mentioned that adequate internal control was required, and what that means was kind of determined by just people's opinions. Well, some of the opinions that really matter are the big four auditing firms, and PwC actually put out a white paper that you can find on the internet, and it goes through a whole lot about this, but it really boils down to these, I think, 12 controls that really make sense when you're talking about any application, but in particular, these are what we're applying for spreadsheets and databases, Access databases. Okay, so that brings us to what do we have in Office? Okay, so in 2013, we released 5 different products. Two of them are server-based products, and those are Discovery and Risk Assessment and Audit and Control Management Server. I apologize for the names. They're not the easiest to remember, but they basically describe what the products do. So if you know the name, you'll know what it's supposed to do. So I'm going to give a demonstration of those and talk more about those. Lee will go through some of the architecture of those. For the desktop, we released Spreadsheet Compare, which is a tool to do side-by-side comparison of any two spreadsheets. We released Database Compare, which is the same type of idea for Access databases. And then something called Spreadsheet Inquire, which is an add-in to Excel that helps you analyze and investigate spreadsheets. And, you know, it's a tool that you can use to help find problems and inconsistencies and things like that. So the desktop tools come with Office Pro Plus. So if you have that and you have Office 2013, You have these tools already, and maybe you don't realize it, but I encourage you to look for that if you have them. I've talked to people that didn't realize they had Spreadsheet Compare, and then they saw it, and they were like, wow, I love this. So it was like a gift they got for free. So okay. So I'm going to get into the demo here in a second. Just in the slide deck, which I think you have access to, I have a little bit of a description and screenshot of all these products. So I will flip just to one more slide before the demo. So Audit and Control Management Server, as you'll see, and I'll talk about more, tracks changes in spreadsheets and Access databases, and here we just have a list of the different types of changes that it can track. So it's really getting granular. We're not just saying this file was modified on a certain day by a certain person. We tell you down to the cell level and down to the formula level and even formatting, if you want that, and of course like VBA code and all those sorts of good things about what was changed in these files. Okay. That's odd. My screen is not showing up there. Let's see here.
There you go.
Yeah, I just, excuse me, bear with me one second while I do a duplication of the monitor here. There we go. Sorry about that. Okay, so what I'm going to do is take you through what I think is a kind of a life cycle of how to use these tools to take control of your spreadsheets and databases. And the first thing that you need to do is understand how big of a problem you have. So discovery and risk assessment is the tool to do that. Again, this is a server-based product. Discovery and risk assessment, the name kind of says it all. So it has two aspects to it. One is the discovery. And that's really just a scanning of network shares and document libraries in SharePoint. Again, this is running on the server. There's a SQL database that's going to collect all the information about these spreadsheets and databases. And what you can see here is I have in this demo environment just a few things, but a list of network shares and document libraries. This could be as many as you have or as many as you need to search. You have some simple search criteria here, which generally is just the file types that you're interested in looking for, so all the typical Excel and Access file types. You'll have some sort of date component to this, so I know if you look at your network, you'll find spreadsheets and databases from 5 or 6 years ago. They're probably not being used anymore, or you may be using a copy, but you don't really need to look at those old ones that aren't changing anymore because they're not adding risk to your organization. It's the ones that are in use that are the problems. So I have all dates here, but typically you might restrict this to 6 months or 9 months. I've worked with some customers that have an incredible number of spreadsheets that are modified in a short amount of time. I think one of the customers I worked with was a big insurance company, and they did their search on a range of 9 months, and they had close to 1 million spreadsheets that had been modified in that 9-month period. So how do you deal with that quantity of files? That's really the focus of this tool, discovery and risk assessment. So what happens when you start this running is it's going to crawl around and find all those documents, and then the risk assessment comes in. So risk assessment is where we analyze each file that gets discovered, and we apply criteria that you can set so it makes sense for your business. And the criteria do things like looking for the complexity of the spreadsheets, and also looking at what we call materiality, which is really the business impact or the financial impact of the spreadsheets. So what's happening here is that for each one of these files, the system looks and it inspects things like how many formulas are there? Do you have data connections? Do you have broken links? Do you have formulas that are errors? Do Do you have links to other workbooks? Do you have complex formulas like array formulas and nested ifs and things that we know people commonly make mistakes with? And based on that, based on those factors, you can set up criteria to score every workbook and say, is it more complex or less complex? This is showing the databases, but I'll switch back. Okay. So you can see there the complexity levels. We have just a few different buckets that we throw all these into. So they could be rudimentary spreadsheets, where if it's just a list of data, or it could be lightly complex, intermediate, all the way up to advanced. And there's also a score, so you can actually get all your spreadsheets and rank them. And then we talk about materiality, which I said is the business impact. So materiality is where you can look at the content within the workbooks. So not just the structure and how complex they're built, but do I have values in here that are important to me? Maybe I have keywords that indicate that this is, you know, used for important reporting purposes. So you can set up criteria to score every workbook for materiality, and it's just basically kind of like search criteria. It's if you get a hit on a search item, it's going to add score to the materiality score and then bump that up in the importance level. And those are broken into buckets of immaterial, material, or critical. So in the end, what you're left with is a rating for all the workbooks. And the idea here, if you think back to that customer I worked with that had a million spreadsheets, they wanted to take control. They identified they had some tools they were going to use, but they just could not take control of a million spreadsheets. There's just no way. It was too complex, too much work. So they said, let's focus on the top 1,000. So they used this tool to take a million down to 1,000. And then they said, we'll do something about these 1,000 first. Once they get that in place, then we can start bringing in the next tier. Okay. Are there any questions at this point? I'll be happy to take questions. If you'd like, you can walk over to the mic or just shout it out. But anything? Well, the data is getting recorded in a SQL database, so we don't have any kind of direct web part or report that you can do that with, but you could access the data and surface it in your own report.
Yeah, you do it in Excel services. Yeah, so you put Excel services.
Yeah. Okay, a couple just last comments about this tool. Again, the data is stored in SQL Server, but it also what we do is run on what we call an incremental scan. So if you're thinking about scanning your organization once, that's certainly helpful, and you'll maybe go through a million documents, which could take a long time, but you want to keep this up. You want to repeat the process so that you don't lose control again. So if you just start off and do this once, 3 months later, you're going to have, let's say, 200,000 new spreadsheets that were modified in the last 2 months, and you really need to know about those as well. So this can be set to run on a scheduled basis, and you saw how fast it went through my list of files. It wasn't actually analyzing each of my files today because they haven't changed since the last time I ran this. So if you run this on a periodic basis, let's say every week or every month, it's not going to have to go through a million files each time. It'll only check or only have to analyze the files that changed since the last time, so it makes it much quicker analysis. Okay. So now I'm going to switch gears. So we found out how big of a problem we have. We identified our top tier spreadsheets that we need to do something about. And so now what are the next steps? So the next steps are to take control by using some of the other tools we have. I'm going to start out by going into Excel, and I'll show you the desktop tools that we have to help out with this. So this is Excel 2013, and I mentioned that we have this Spreadsheet Inquire add-in. So if you have Pro Plus, you have this add-in, you just need to go into your add-ins and turn it on. And then what that enables you to do is run a bunch of these tools. So we have this first one called the workbook analysis. So if you've identified a critical workbook, I'm guessing based on my experience that some of these workbooks are not well documented. Maybe the person who built it has left the company, retired, whatever the case may be. And the people using it today may have just kind of a black box feeling about it, where they're putting in data, getting out data, but they may not have any idea how it works. So the workbook analysis report can help with that, because you can run this and look at a lot of different aspects of the spreadsheet. So for example, I don't have to look around to find cells with errors. I can run this report and select that category. And what you see there are just any cells that have an error condition, according to Excel. And I could double click on that, and it'll take me right to that place in the workbook. So this was on a different sheet than I was looking at, but it's very easy to find using that report. Okay, so there are about 40 or so categories of analytics that we have here. I'll just point out a few of them. I mentioned negative formulas. This is one where we really like to look at all the negative formulas in a workbook, because it's just an easy typo to make and it can have a dramatic effect on the output of the workbook. Maybe you want to look at inconsistent formulas. So Excel will put the little green tick mark in the corner of the formula if it's inconsistent with the neighboring cells. And here you have a report. So in this case, I just have one. But you can imagine if you have many, it's much easier to look on a report than have to go hunting looking for the little green tick mark in the Excel file. So this report also can serve as documentation. So one of the recommendations from the big auditing firms is that you should have these things documented. And I know that's a big shortcoming. A lot of people are using spreadsheets, of course, that aren't documented. So you can actually do a thing down there. It says export to Excel, and that will create a document with all these results. And it formats it so you can actually do a review of the spreadsheet and put your comments in there. If you're changing things or if it's just explaining how it works, that can all go in there as documentation. Okay, so that's just one feature of Spreadsheet Inquire. There's also a few other things here to show you that are interesting. The next one is what we call the workbook relationship diagram. So I showed those diagrams in the slides initially, but I wanted to just talk about a little more how this works. So in this workbook, I know I have some links, and I just see there's a few files that I'm linking to. And that's, you know, nice and easy to look at in Excel, but I don't really know if there are dependencies beyond that. So the workbook relationship diagram is going to go beyond that first level, and now it will find the workbooks that this one is linked to. And for every other workbook, it will just continue to crawl and crawl and tell me every workbook that is that this one is dependent on. So I'll just move things around so it's easier to see. Now what you see here are this first kind of semicircle of icons indicate the spreadsheets that are directly linked in the one I have open. It also shows that I have a link out to a website. So it shows me not only my linked workbooks, but also data connections that I have here. I have a connection out to an Access database. If I had just any other database, so SQL, Oracle, whatever it is, would show there. And then it shows me the second level of links here. So I see that I have some links to other workbooks down the chain, and you can see by this one here with the red X, or a couple of them with the red X, there are some broken links. So these are things that people really need to know about. In the file that I have open, I have no idea that there's out-of-date information there because I have these broken links, but now I can see that easily with this report. So if you see something in red, it's saying there's broken links or it's out of date. This one is interesting here. It's showing in yellow because this file has not been updated as recently as the upstream file. The upstream file. So in Excel, if I change some data in a file that's linked by another file, that data doesn't just magically flow into the other file until I open it up and refresh it. So this is telling me I need to update this file that's shown in yellow to get the most current data. Okay. Whoops, didn't mean to do that again. So in addition to the workbook relationship diagram, we have diagrams that get more granular. So they can go down at the sheet level. So you can see the relationship of the sheets in the workbook to each other. And also, if there are links out to other workbooks, you'll see which sheets in those workbooks are linked. I'm not going to run that one just in the interest of time, but we can get to that later if we need to. And now, even at the cell level, so down at the cell level, I can just pick a cell, and I can see all the precedents and dependents of that cell in the workbook. And you can diagram it out. It's kind of like the trace dependence on steroids. Okay. And then probably for me, one of the greatest features here is what we call compare files. This is the Spreadsheet Compare product that I talked about. It's actually a separate tool that runs, but you can launch it from right here. I'm not going to do it now because I'm going to get to that in a little bit. Okay. So now let's go back to our overall scenario. We use discovery and risk assessment to understand how big of a problem we have. We've identified the critical spreadsheets. We've decided to focus in on this one here to do a better job of controlling it. We use Spreadsheet Inquire to analyze it, and now we can document it and understand it better. Now we need to put it under control, right? Because if you understand how it works and you've documented it, you don't want to lose that control. You want to make sure that it stays in good shape. So rather than having to reanalyze it all the time and kind of start from scratch, you can just put it under change control, and then you'll be able to see if anyone makes important changes in there. So that takes us to what we called Audit and Control Management Server, or ACM Server. We'll probably just say ACM Server for the rest of this talk. And ACM Server is going to automatically track all the changes in this file down to the cell level, and it's very easy for the end user. So one of the really important things about this tool is we don't want to make it difficult for the end users, because end users are crafty and smart, and they'll get around it if it bothers them. So we want to make it super easy. And I'm going to play the role of the end user here and just make a variety of changes in this file. Now, this file is in SharePoint. I've checked it out, so I'm ready to work on it. I can do a whole bunch of data entry here just by clicking a button. There's nothing magical about that. But what I want to do is show you that we can track different types of changes, and you have flexibility to track certain things and ignore other things. So I did data entry on about 50 or so cells just by clicking that button. I'm going to also make what we consider a structural change by deleting a row. I'm going to go and make a change to a formula, which is its own type of change. So just very simple. Notice I changed the formula in a row that was below the row that I deleted, and that's important, and we'll show that later. So I'm also going in to change some VBA code that I have in here. Let's see. So I'm just changing one character in here, and I think I'm done. So as the end user, all I need to do now is check the file back in. And did I do that? I checked it out there, so let me check it in. Nice comment. And check it in. So you can see for the end user, there's nothing really happening. It's not like we're recording keystrokes. It's not like we're getting in the way of things. They just do their work, and they save their file. In this case, I had it in SharePoint, and I checked it out, checked it in. That's really the best way that you can control these spreadsheets. This also works if the file's just sitting on a network share. So if the file was on a network share, the user just opens it, does their work, and saves it. There's nothing more that they need to do. What happens now in the background is that we have ACM Server looking at this particular folder, and I'm bringing up ACM Server's user interface here. So this is what the end user would see. So they just come in, and they're initially brought to this page called My Files. My Files is just a place where I see the files that I'm allowed to see. So there's security set up in ACM Server so that I could be tracking files for all different organizations or departments in my company, but they're based on folders. So every folder has security associated with it, and I can only see the files in folders that I have access to. So the files are organized here just in order of the most recent at the top. So the file that I just checked in shows up there at the top, so I know that somebody made a change. And if I want to know exactly what changed in there, I just click on it, and it brings me to this view here. So now I can see on the left-hand side all the versions of this file that we know about, when they were changed, who changed them, and then as we go to the right, we can see the number of changes in the different change categories we have. So we talked about formula changes, and you can see I made one formula change, and that's what it says. Entered values, I had 45 there. That I deleted that one row. And there's this thing over here called key items. So we can track specific values in a workbook that are important to you, and we call those key items. So if I want to see the detail of this, I could just say, show me all the changes in there by clicking on that number 54. That was the total number of changes in this file. Now I have a detailed list. Okay, today's date, my name, and then we get to the details of exactly what changed. So on this sheet called P&L statement, I deleted row 19. So it automatically is able to detect that I deleted that row, and it does that by just comparing all the data on that sheet and says something shifted there, which is really important because if I just looked at that workbook and went cell by cell, there would be a lot of differences below the row that I deleted just because they're in different positions, but the tool is smart enough to understand that structure and just pinpoint what actually was changed. Here we can see the formula, so it's very easy. Oh, I can see, I don't know why there's a hard-coded value on my important formula, but at least I can see what changed. So if I'm interested in the VBA code, I want to just jump to that a little quicker. So here we don't see exactly what changed very easily, but you can do that certainly. So we can drill in even further. I just click on this old value, and now it's going to take me to code differencing tool, and it will show me that one line that was changed. So I don't have to try to scan through and guess what somebody may have changed. I know exactly now this one line was changed. Okay, so a couple other things to point out here. So ACM Server gives you the ability to add notes about these versions. So if this file's in SharePoint, I don't really necessarily need to do that because I already put a note in when I checked it in. But if the file's on a network share, this is kind of nice. I can now do my work, save it. I could come in here and say exactly, you know, what my changes were for that time period or for that version. And that stays with those change records. So now I can go back and look at what people said about this file through time. There's also the ability, again, this file being in SharePoint, I have version tracking already turned on in SharePoint. But if it was on a network share, then ACM Server would provide that, and you'd see a little link here that says download this version. So without having anything really special on the network share and not requiring people to check in and check out, you get the benefits of a version history for those files. Okay. Any questions at this point? Yes. Not right now, no. That's a great question. So the question was, is ACM Server available in SharePoint Online? So no, this is for on-premises right now only. Unfortunately, we don't have the ability to do the authentication to track the files in SharePoint Online documents. But I'm going to show some slides again about what we're working on that hopefully will make you feel good about that. The question is, if we have ACM Server on premises, can it crawl data on SharePoint Online? The answer is no, not right now. Anything else? Okay. Okay, so the last thing I want to show is this compare files tool that we have here. So having the detailed change history is really nice, but if you look at that change history, you might, you know, I just did the changes, so I know exactly where those changes were, but if you're looking at that detailed list, it's kind of just telling you, oh, somebody changed this cell C22. I don't know what that is, so it's not the most helpful thing sometimes. But what you can do is open up a previous version of the file. And I just want to make sure I have the fresh list here. So I just went to the version history for this file, pulling the other version out of SharePoint. If this was a network share, I could do that directly from the ACM website. I could hit download this version, and it would let me have the current version of the file open with the previous version of the file, which is what I have here. And then it's really simple to use Spreadsheet Compare. It's really any two files that you have open in Excel, you can just hit a button and do a side-by-side on those, and you'll know exactly what changed in those files. Apologize for the slowness of my system here. It's running a fairly low-powered virtual machine here. Or I should say extremely low-powered, I guess. The question is, what does it take to install ACM on premises? Lee is going to cover that kind of in his talk. He'll go through the architecture of it and then talk about the kind of resources that you would need to actually implement it. All right, what's going on? Okay, there we go. Is it working? No.
Yeah, enable editing.
All right, well, I have a backup plan. So I can go out of here. Never thought I would need this backup plan, but it's handy. Okay, so I have the same file open up in a different environment. This case, I'll actually go and show you, because I need to, how to open up the file from the version history in ACM server. So here, this file is on the network share. That's why I have this option to download this version. So I click open. You need to click enable editing for this to work. So now I can go back to my inquire tab and hit compare files. Now, I only have two files open, so it naturally shows me those. If you had more than two, there would be a list, and you could just pick any two from the list to compare to each other. And now you'll see here in a second how I don't have a lot of interesting changes in this one. But you can see color-coded exactly where the changes occurred. So the color coding indicates the type of change. So we know the difference between a formula change, if it's an entered value, or if it's a macro, or if it's formatting. And you can see the color coding over here on the left. So I'm actually going to just make one other quick change here just to make this a little bit more interesting. So I'm going to delete a row from this file and then compare these again. So I actually deleted a row from the previous version, so it's going to describe this as adding a row. But now we can see it's telling me I added a row. And now everything below that, you can see, for example, if I choose this cell B19, this happened below the row that I deleted. So you can see it's comparing row 18 to row 19, and that's, again, the importance of that ability to understand the actual structure of the files. Okay. All right. I'll just show you quickly how you can filter through this. So I don't know if I have any VBA code in this one, but just by turning off categories I'm not interested in. So a lot of times there's tons of data entry happening in these files, so it may not be as interesting to look at the entered values, but you want to know the structure, and you can simply turn off some of these categories to get at that. Okay. So I think I'm ready to switch back. If there are any questions, we can certainly demonstrate more later, but I'm going to switch back, and I just have a couple more slides before I pass off to Lee. Just a couple more screenshots. Okay. So this is what we released in Office 2013, what's currently available. what we're currently working on and what's coming, as we had the questions about Office 365 and SharePoint Online, we really don't have good support for that. So that's really something we're focusing on now. So we plan to add spreadsheet management right into the SharePoint Online experience. If any of you have seen the talk about the compliance overview or any of the feature talks about the Compliance Center, spreadsheet management one day will appear there, and you'll be able to take control of your spreadsheets without installing some separate tool on premises. So one of the first things that we'll do with that is to integrate with the Fast Search Engine, and that will help us to avoid the need for discovery and risk assessment. So that analysis we did in discovery and risk assessment will just happen naturally as part of the indexing process, and it'll let us search for the interesting spreadsheets by looking at complexity measures and things like that. And then we'll hope to create and enforce spreadsheet management policies right here in the Compliance Center. So I want to mention this. This is under construction, so things could certainly and most likely will change from what you see here, but we're just giving a little preview. So here's the Compliance Center with the spreadsheet management built into it. And this is just kind of a small vision of, we've set up some policies called one for Contoso Sales and another one for Northwind's HR group. And inside these policies, we'll have things maybe like make sure that the versioning is turned on in the document libraries. There could be change tracking that's turned on. Again, it's under construction, so some of this is still going to change, but I wanted to point that out. Ooh, there's our dog again. Sorry about that. So I'm happy to take any other questions. I think we might want to hold off till the end, but I'm going to pass it off to Lee now, and Lee will get into architecture and deployment and hopefully answer your question.
Thank you, Steve. Mm-hmm. So spreadsheet controls, server, like Steve said, we have two spreadsheet control servers. We have ACM and Discovery Risk Assessment. Discovery Risk Assessment and ACM both reside in one single database. So we have one database that we maintain for both of these products. So the data that we gather from both sources actually go into the same database. When we look at this, you can see that we have that green line there that's below the user. We don't actually put any software to control these two products on the user's machine. This is totally, the user doesn't know that it's even running. We're actually taking those files off their machine or off their file shares, so they're not affected at all with this process. So we're not intrusive, so we don't have any effect on the users. The clients don't need to upgrade, so that's one of the biggest concerns. Well, do I need to have all my clients on Office 2013? And no, your clients can be on as low as Office 97, to be honest, but probably 2003 and above. So the clients don't need the upgrade, and we support both the file shares and the SharePoint libraries. Now, there is an advantage to moving the SharePoint that's inherited into SharePoint in that we can set up workflows and things like that, and approval processes is much easier with SharePoint. And we store all those results, again, like I said, in a SQL Server. So let's look at the infrastructure of Discovery Risk Assessment. Really, it's the tool that Steve was showing in a database. That's really all it is. We maintain that tool is installed on the server. We have a scheduler in there so that we can schedule the runs itself, so we don't have to have somebody that manually runs those. We can schedule those to run every week or every 2 weeks, whatever, and scan these files. And then we just need access to a database. The workflow is very much like this. So we'll take files from the SharePoint library or from the network share. We bring them into our processor. We process those files, then we delete them. We write those changes to the database, and then we display those changes through the tool. So it's a very circular process. We don't maintain those documents anywhere in our system for discovery risk assessment. Now, that's a little different for ACM, and I'll go over that in just a second. For ACM, the architecture is a lot different. So we have a central database. We have what we call an application server that contains four parts. That's a file processor, a SharePoint processor, a spreadsheet processor, and a database and an Access database processor. Those four processors are what actually do the key of the work of analyzing or getting the file. So like our NTFS processor and our SharePoint processor go out and take the files off of their respective sources and bring them down to our system. And then we have the spreadsheet processor that actually does the compare of the workbooks and looks at the two versions and then brings it back. And then the Access processor does the same thing. And then we have a website that Steve was demonstrating that does all of the configuration, where we put in all the configuration and we get all of our reporting out of. So what's the workflow look like for ACM? ACM's workflow is the user saves their document out to the share. We then go get that document and we take it in and we take the version that they just saved or the version they just checked in, and we compare it with the previous version. Now, if it's on a network share, we're retaining that version. If it's on SharePoint, we're using the SharePoint repository to retain that version. Once we've done that compare, we write that out to a SQL Server, and then we visualize that through our web part or through our website. Are there any questions at this time? So, Audit and Control Management Server requires Windows 2008 server or Windows 2000 or above, requires a SQL Server backend that's 2008 or above, and then we have the application server and the web server, and they can be on the same machine. In a lot of cases, for smaller deployments, most customers have them on the same machine. We require that Excel 2013 and Access 2013 be installed on those server machines. And then we talk a little bit just about licensing. You have to have a SQL Server eCal for the users that are going to be using ACM. So it's SharePoint eCal for the users that are going to be using ACM. So that is a requirement for ACM. So what I want to talk about now is, what does a project like this look like when you bring it into your environment, when you start trying to get spreadsheets under control? Did I answer your question about deployments? It's only available in Office 2013. Yeah, so we will support the file formats of 97 to do the analysis and stuff, but we won't support the add-ins are not in 97. Those add-ins aren't available except in Office 2013. Okay? So what does a project look like this when you try to deploy something like this? Well, first thing you have to do is start to evaluate what the current situation is. How many spreadsheets you have, what's critical in your environment, who owns governance. I mean, a lot of times that's a big question, is who's responsible for these spreadsheets? Who actually needs to know that they're right? And then implementing appropriate controls. Right now, I can tell you in most organizations, those are being implemented through processes. They're being implemented that somebody has to go in and review that spreadsheet, sign off on it, but there's no real control around that spreadsheet to make sure that what users are doing is correct. And then develop a long-term spreadsheet development and maintenance methodology so that we can keep those files up to date. We know how we're going to audit those. We know what the templates mean, what things like that, where those files are going to be stored, and things like that. So how do we do that? So what are the steps? Well, first we have to inventory the relevant spreadsheets. By relevant spreadsheets, that's where eDiscovery comes in. We can look at the whole environment and say, okay, here's the users that have the majority of the spreadsheets, or here's the departments that seem to have the most complex spreadsheets. Let me reach out to them and find out what's important to them to understand what they need. Then validate the critical spreadsheets, identify what those critical spreadsheets are. And then once we identify those using, like Steve said, using Spreadsheet Inquire to analyze those and make sure that they're correct, and then implementing appropriate controls around them by putting them in ACM, and then setting up control activities such as moving them into SharePoint where we can put them into workflows and into control environments so that people will have them under control and know when things change and know we have an approval process set up and a workflow set up for those critical spreadsheets. And then maintaining those spreadsheets over a long period of time and ensuring that there's proper documentation and things like that go with those spreadsheets as we move forward. So as a premier engineer, I get a lot of chances to come out and help develop these type of engagements where we put a POC out so that people can start testing this application. And what that looks like is I spend about a day working with the business and IT envisioning what a solution would look like in their environment, understanding what kind of problems they're having and what that solution would look like in their environment. Then me and IT sit down and we map out a plan for where those servers are going to be, what they're going to look like, how many servers we think we'll need based on some of the conversations that we've had. And then we build and implement a test environment in a test lab. We configure ACM and discovery risk assessment. And then I come back and I work with the business users to take some of their existing files, because most of the time they have files that say financial statement quarter one, financial statement quarter two, financial statement quarter three, and I can take those files and then by putting those back into ACM, I can show them what changes were made over that period, and that gives them a good sense of what the system will do for them. So once we've done that, then you may want to look at what a larger EUC system would look like. And we've implemented one of these for one of our larger mortgage companies, and this is kind of the approach we took. So we created a portal, basically, that allowed people to have like their own dashboard. They had some self-registry where people could register the EUCs, the spreadsheets, and access controls into this registry. They set up a centralized repository where those files would go once they were registered. They decided what workspaces were. So if an end user had a workspace for that file, and then the developer would have a different workspace for that file, and the files would move between the two workspaces as appropriate. And then they set up some reporting. They go around to say how many EUCs they have in the environment, what the approval process is around those, things like that. So some of the roles that they identified is like, you know, who's going to be over the EUC, who's going to be the auditor of it. These are just some, you know, who's the business manager for this project, things like that, the developers of the spreadsheets. Just some of the key roles that you find when you start looking at a solution like this. What the dashboard for the user was to look like was they would have my tasks, their EUCs, their reports, so it would tell them what, you know, they could go quickly and look at what kind of reports they had, what their workflow was, and then what their compliance was for that dashboard. So they knew exactly where they were at with getting their files approved or having their users turn in their files to get approved for that quarter or that year. And this is kind of a diagram of the self-registry process, so they could classify, you know, are they low, medium, or high-risk spreadsheets, what that score was when they registered them, and then put those under control in this registry, and they would go through, look at them, the users would evaluate them, and then they would self-register those into the system for management. And then this is a look at how the repository worked once the files were put in, and what based on what they were identified, they were put into one of three vaults, either controlled or managed or registered. In other words, if they're registered, we're just going to kind of keep track of them. If they're managed, there may be some things that some simple workflow set up on them. And if they're under control, then there was probably being tracked in ACM and also had workflows and approval processes that were much more complex. The workspace is kind of what we've talked about before. They had a way for the users who were using the files to have one workspace where they would store their copies of the files, and then the developer would have another workspace, and we would have a workflow that would move that file once it was, that model was created, and move that file into the user's workspace so they could use the file as necessary. And this is kind of a big picture of how they implemented that there. So they have a 2008 with Active Directory and IIS, SQL Server. They had a SharePoint implementation already in their environment, so they leveraged some of those items there. But they also created another whole new SharePoint farm to hold and house their EUCs. So they moved all their EUCs into a separate farm and were managing those within that separate farm. And then they have the ACM to feed into that farm as necessary. And so if you'll look, this is, you know, just kind of a diagram of what their physical location looked like. SharePoint their SharePoint servers and app servers. And then we have the web server and the SQL server. The web server and the application server for ACM were being housed on separate machines in this environment. But that is not necessary. We can't house those two components together on the same box without problems. Depending on what the volume and the workload is. And then this is just kind of a diagram of the considerations. The couple of things I want to point out here on this diagram, though, that I think are very important is that when we start talking about moving files so one of the things I'd like to point out is the advantages of using SharePoint over using UNC drives. Over file shares. Right now, most of your files probably exist on file shares because that's where users are comfortable with them or have been comfortable with them for years, unless you've had a pretty good SharePoint implementation in your organization. There's a kind of what I like to refer to as a risk reward there. You need to move those files, but you need to figure out where those files are linked to and what's linked to them before you move them, because you don't want to break things that'll go down further. So, but the nice thing about moving them to SharePoint is you're able to set up a very advanced workflow for those files where you can get a lot more information out of them. You ensure that people are doing the appropriate things because you have a workflow that's trackable. So people check them out. They check them in. We know what user checked it out. We know what user checked it in. We don't have to rely on file properties or other things because we know that was a user that checked out that file, and that was a user that checked in that file. So from an auditing standpoint, SharePoint makes a whole lot of sense. And it also takes a lot of the workflow and those type of things off your hands, because then you're right there. You already have that workflow set up, and you can duplicate that workflow across multiple departments if necessary. And this is kind of what their engagement team looked like. And this is the project timelines for this. So at this point, I think we've got about 10, 15 minutes left. I'll be more than happy to discuss any other questions that you guys may have. Kind of flew through that last little bit faster than I thought I would. Yes, ma'am. First, ACM doesn't have to be implemented into SharePoint. We can use files that are on file shares. If your files are already in SharePoint, that's fantastic. So, but we don't have to implement those files into SharePoint. My only concern with moving to 2010 and then moving to 2013 is your workflows, because your workflow engine changed in SharePoint 2013. So that would be my only concern there, but that would be may be a very minor concern, depending on if you're just going to use like an approval workflow and things like that. That may not be a concern at all. But so there shouldn't be a concern. As far as data goes and moving the files and stuff, the content databases and stuff all migrate just fine.
ACM is compatible 2010.
Yeah, and ACM is also compatible, like Steve said, with 2010. So we can look at 2010 or 2013. That doesn't matter. But the only concern would be is how complex you want to make your workflows, because there is a new workflow engine in SharePoint 2013.
Yeah. Yeah. So by default, the SharePoint 2010 workflow engine is installed for the platform in SharePoint 2013. Isn't it until you install Workflow Manager that you get the ability to use Workflow 2013 Workflow?
Okay.
So it actually, there's a no code change on your workflow specifically for 2010 and 2013.
Okay, good to know. Thank you.
Yes. So the licensing, the question was, is there special licensing? So for the desktop products I mentioned, they come with Office Pro Plus. So there's nothing really additional. They're just added on. For the servers, there's a server license required for each machine that's running the tools. And I believe, I don't know what the actual cost is, but I believe it's actually 50% of the cost of a typical SharePoint server. And then the eCal is required. So for the users who are actually modifying the spreadsheets that are being controlled, they need to have a client access license.
They need to have the enterprise client access license too, right?
Enterprise.
Yeah, one of the important things about SharePoint 2013 is you can split your license environment up for your clients, where you couldn't do that in 2010. So in 2010, you'd have been forced to install enterprise client licenses across your entire farm. With 2013, you can say only these people need enterprise licenses. So you can use standard version. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's cool. They finally got it, right? So, that was one of the coolest features. Right. Yeah, like executives want to have BI. So you don't need to have BI down to your end users in the warehouse, you know? So why pay for enterprise licenses for the folks that aren't going to use it?
The question is ACM available for download on MSDN? It's only downloadable from the Volume Licensing Center, but it's, you know, you can certainly evaluate it if you have access to that. If you don't, come see me, because I have a way that I can get it to you.
Is there any documentation on that?
There's documentation. I don't know if it has specific capacity planning. We do have a fairly large article on TechNet that lists the kind of the limits of different aspects of the system. So that'll give you an idea, like how many folders you can be monitoring from one system, and how many users it can support, and things like that. Oh, okay. So that's a good question. So the question about how big the database may need to be, I should have probably talked about that in our talk. So if the files are stored on network shares, ACM keeps track of each version of those files, but it doesn't put them in the SQL database. We set up a separate file share that ACM server has access to, and we actually stick the files in there. The database just contains all the metadata, so the database shouldn't get too big. If you see me after, I'll give you my contact info and I can follow up and provide some of those numbers. I'm hoping that we actually get an article up on TechNet with some of the guidance on that, but it's tough because so many organizations are so different. I mean, the variety of spreadsheets that you get is truly amazing, so and requirements too. So I mentioned that you can keep track of certain types of changes in these spreadsheets and ignore other things. Most organizations do what we recommend, which is to track the functional aspects of the spreadsheets and not keep track of all the data that's changing. But occasionally I've worked with customers that say, no, we want to track absolutely everything. And their database is going to be really pretty sizable, because I've seen workbooks where they make one update to the file like every month, and it's over 1 million changes get recorded in that database. So that starts to add up. But typically it's not that bad. Anything else? Yeah, so the question again about licensing. So for the users, it's based on people that are making changes to the monitored files. So yes, so if the system is tracking a spreadsheet that you're working on, you need to have a license for that.
What if you're not using the system, but somebody's monitoring the files? Let's say the entire organization is being monitored, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not using it as an end user, Mike. I'm just adding a spreadsheet to SharePoint.
Yeah, we look at it as you're causing our system to do work.
Okay, that's fine. I just want to be clear on that, right?
Yeah, so the question, just to clarify, was if I'm not actually accessing like the interface of the system, I may not even know it's there, but the licensing requires you to have that.
So what we've seen is typically a customer will run through and look at what changes are made. Then they'll set up either some process that says, hey, we need to evaluate this spreadsheet and lock it down, depending on how critical it is. Or they'll hand out a spreadsheet inquiry to the end users and say, you need to double check your spreadsheets. One of the organizations I've worked with, what they do is they have their auditors or their controllers review each other's work. So they have a kind of a peer-to-peer auditing system where they go in, they check their critical files into ACM, they review those files. At the end of the quarter, they say, we're ready for approval. The other controller from another region comes over and reviews those files, they just split that load. So somebody's reviewing and controlling those files. We're not so much looking for errors as much as we're looking for changes to ensure those changes are correct with ACM. We expect that before a file gets put into ACM that's been thoroughly audited and that we know that it's 100% right. What we're now looking for is to make sure nobody makes changes to that file that causes it to go into error. Does that answer your question? Okay.
Have you found that people that are using like EWA or Excel Web Access and Excel Services, shared data source like Office Data Connectors, that those files have less problems with them? Or if folks start using things like that, have you seen organizations where that's reduced the complexity of what they're doing once they know how to use it?
The real problem with that right there is a lot of times the files that we're looking at are not data driven. In other words, we don't get a lot of data from a SQL server. We're getting a lot of data where somebody's going out and getting a number from here or a number from over here and they're bringing it in. So then they're doing multiplications, they're doing other things on them. So they're not data driven spreadsheets, they're more an analytical or reporting spreadsheets.
That's where we try to reduce risk. So we're always trying to automate those spreadsheets wherever possible.
Yeah.
Give common data sources.
Yeah. Yeah.
You had a question?
Can you install just the risk and assessment tool?
Yes.
The entire ACM?
Yes.
Sort of. Let me clarify that. So the question is, can you install just the discovery and risk assessment? There's a shared database. So you need to actually install ACM Server just to create the database. So if you don't want to use ACM Server, that's totally fine. But you have to at least install it and run the little configuration tool that creates the database, which then you connect to through discovery and risk assessment. Yeah. Yes. So the question is, if you did that, would you need a license? You'd still need a license for that machine. So if you have a license for a machine, that enables you to run ACM Server and discovery and risk assessment on that machine. You wouldn't need the user licenses for the case of discovery and risk assessment. Yeah. Anything else? Okay, so if anyone has questions or want to follow up about how you can get the trial or whatever, just stop by and we'll connect and follow up on that. And thanks, everyone, for filling up this room.